Chapter 9. What? Lexi stared at the scone. I can assure you, there are no hairs in my pastries.
You can see it right there,
the man sputtered as he slammed closed the notebook he had open on the table beside him. Lexi bent down to look closer at the scone and gasped. There was some hair there, a small clump of short, light-colored hairs. What's this? These weren't here before, Lexi said. Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen craned their necks to see the hairs. Oh dear, that does look like hair, Ida said. But how would it get there? Lexi asked. I have a very clean kitchen. That's right. She's never had any kind of problem with contamination before, Nance added. Lexi narrowed her eyes at the man, who hastily jammed his arms in the sleeves of his coat. Wait a minute. How do I know you didn't plant that in there? The man's face turned red.
Plant it? Madam, don't you know who I am?
Lexi glanced at Nans and the ladies, who all shook their heads. No.
I'm Edgar Royce, the man stated.
Nans gasped. The food critic? Lexi's brows shot upwards. That would be terribly bad luck, to have one of the most influential food critics find a hair in her scone. The very recipe she was planning to enter in the bicentennial contest. The man nodded.
And you can rest assured I will not be giving you a favorable review. In fact, I should probably call the health inspector on you.
Lexi's stomach twisted. That was the last thing she needed on top of everything else. The timing of this was unfortunate. Too unfortunate not to be suspicious. Wait a minute, she said as the man brushed past her on his way to the door. What made you decide to come here today?
I got a call, someone raving about your pastries and saying I should try the scone since it was some famous family recipe or something, he said. I thought it would make an appealing article as I was told your great-grandmother won contests with that same recipe. I can only assume she omitted the hair.
Do you know who called? Lexi followed him to the door. A man or a woman?
Lady, I have no idea. I just got the message from my editor.
He stepped around her toward the door.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll be on my way.
Of course, Lexi said. At least let me give you your money back. I'm so sorry this happened.
Never mind about the money. If you want my advice, I think you better go over your kitchen with a fine-tooth comb. And make sure you have sanitary baking practices,
he barked, before turning on his heel and storming out the door.
Well, I never, Ruth said. What was that all about?
It appears as if someone is setting me up. Lexi slid her eyes toward the brew and bake. And I think I have a pretty good idea who it is. The cold air stung Lexi's face as she flung open the door to the cup and cake. She didn't notice it, though, despite the fact she hadn't put on a coat. Her anger kept her warm. She stormed across the street, past the television crew loading their equipment into the van, and straight into the brew and bake. "Just what are you up to?" she demanded. Carol Lee looked at her in surprise.
"Excuse me? Are you referring to the television segment?"
"No, I'm referring to Edgar Royce." Carol Lee answered her with a blank stare. The customers who had been in the shop, probably trying to get their 15 minutes of fame on television, edged their way to the door. "Don't play dumb with me." Lexi stepped closer to the blonde baker. "You know who he is, the food critic." Carol Lee fisted her hands on her hips.
"I have no idea what you are talking about, And I don't appreciate your tone.
Lexi got right in Carolee's face.
Don't give me that. I know you sabotaged my scones and then sent him in to give me a bad review.
Like you should talk. What about the article in the Sentinel bashing my pastries? Wasn't it written by one of your friends sitting in your bakery right now?
Carolee shot her arm out to point across the street.
Lexi's gaze followed. Noticing Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, their faces pressed against the glass window of the cup and cake, looking back at them.
She did an independent test comparing them, Lexi said.
Carolee's face started to turn an unhealthy shade of pink. Independent my ass. First, you accuse me of being a thief, and now this? You better watch it, or you might find yourself on the business end of a lawsuit.
Anger bubbled up inside Lexi. She jabbed her finger in Carolee's face.
You sue me? Huh, that's a laugh. I'm the one that should sue you.
Okay. Break it up.
Lexi whipped her head around to see Watson Davies quickly making her way toward them.
What is it with you two?
Davies pushed the two of them apart, glaring at each of them in turn.
She's trying to ruin my business, Lexi complained to Davies.
No, she's trying to ruin mine, Carolee said.
You sound like 2-year-olds,
Davies replied.
Carolee's brows dipped. What are you doing here, anyway?
I was actually on my way to the cup and cake to talk to Lexi about the break-in, and I saw the two of you fighting over here.
So, you checked out her alibi? Lexi thrust her chin toward Carolee.
Are you going to arrest her?
No, her alibi checked out, just like she said.
Lexi's stomach sank.
What? Well, surely you're not going to believe her brother. He probably lied for her. I mean, it must have been her. Who else would break in?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Davies took Lexi's elbow and tugged her toward the door.
It would be better if we talked over in your store, though.
See? I told you I didn't do it, Carolee yelled after them. Hey! I want my ring back, and I might want to press chart.
Davies closed the door, cutting off Carolee's rant. She kept her vice-like grip on Lexi's elbow, propelling her across the street and into the cup and cake.
Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, who had watched them intently as they crossed the street, sat facing the door with questioning looks.
Well, did she do it?
Nance asked.
She denied it, but it must have been her, Lexi replied.
What are you guys talking about?
Davy's forehead creased at Lexi.
A food critic found hair in Lexi's scones. So naturally, we assumed that other woman planted it.
Nance gestured to the scone on the table, one small bite taken out of the corner. Davies looked at the plate.
It does have hair on it. But how would she plant it? Was she over here?
Nance pressed her lips together.
I didn't see her. Was she here, Lexi?
Lexi frowned.
No, but it must have been her.
Maybe it was just an unhappy coincidence, Ruth offered.
Is that what you were arguing about?
Davies asked Lexi.
Yes. She's been out to get me since she opened.
Lexi felt her anger rising again.
I mean, just look at how she made her bakery the same colors and design as mine. The sign is almost the same. And she's been undercutting my prices. It just had to have been her that broke in. And can you believe she had the nerve to accuse me of trying to ruin her business?
The casual observer might see it that way.
Davies pointed out.
What? Are you saying you think I'm behind all this?
Lexi asked incredulously. Davies held her hand up to ward off Lexi's anger.
I said the casual observer. If you think about it logically, you
have a solid motive, because her business is a threat to yours. So, since she has an alibi for the break-in, I should probably get one from you, too. You seriously don't think I broke into my own bakery, do you? Lexi fumed. No, but it won't hurt for you to prove you couldn't have. Davies whipped out her cell phone and poised her fingertips over the keypad. So, where were you that night? Well, I'm sure I was home with Jack. No, wait. That was 2 nights ago? I went out with Cassie after work, then home with Jack. Okay, great. Where did you go with Cassie? A restaurant or bar? Did anyone see you? Lexi's top teeth worried her bottom lip. She was starting to regret the dumpster dive. Now she was getting even deeper into the lie, and that was never a good thing. We went to the Glenview for dinner. Lexi grimaced at the high pitch of her voice. She'd have to remember to get her story straight with Cassie. Of course, she probably should come clean about where they really were, but that would make her look guilty for sure. We didn't see anyone we know there, though. Did you pay with a credit card? We could verify it that way. No, we paid in cash. Lexi absently wiped her sweaty palms on her jeans. Davies sighed. Okay, well, it doesn't give me much to go on, but at least I can find out when you got home from Jack. If only I could narrow down what time the break-in happened, that would make it so much easier. I can't believe my shop was broken into, and now I'm the suspect, Lexi said. You're not a suspect, Davies answered. I'm just covering all the angles. You must admit, you do seem to have quite the adversarial relationship with Ms. Brewster. Well, she's not very easy to get along with, Lexi said. Yeah, I know. Davies slid her gaze across the street. She got on my bad side, too. Remember? Honestly, I would be happy to discover it was her. But I have to work with the facts. Right. Sorry. I guess this sewer business has me all worked up. Lexi gestured toward the torn-up sidewalk. No one can even get to my shop, and she's getting all the business. Hang in there. The sewer work should be all tied up the day after tomorrow. I hear they have a mandate to finish it before the practice parade on Friday night. Davies made to leave, reached for the doorknob, then turned back. If you think of anything else that might shed light on the robbery, let me know. With a jingle of the bells over the door, the detective disappeared out onto the street.
Well, that sure is strange,
Nan said. What? That her alibi checks out? Lexi asked.
Yes. Did you ever think maybe it isn't her doing all this?
Lexi shook her head. That doesn't make any sense. It has to be her. I found her ring right in the pile of recipes.
Lexi's right, Ida chimed in. She has a strong motive. Besides, if it's not her, who else would go to all this trouble? And why?